Tarlhurst End Podcast.
Read the blog
on thetarlhurstend.com.
Hello and welcome to the Tarlhurst End Podcast Extra with Get Reading for January the 2nd, 2015. Very happy new year to all of our listeners. My name's Dan Wimbush. I'm the editor of thetarlhurstend.com, an independent Reading fan site and blog. And I'm joined, as always, by Get Reading's Reading reporter, Charles Watts. Charles, happy new year to you.
Yeah, happy new year to you, Dan. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. Reading unbeaten in 2015 so far.
Fantastic.
100% record. As good a record as Barcelona, Real Madrid or anyone.
I know, and 100% record better than Arsenal. So,
yeah, that was not good. To be fair, Southampton on a roll, top four.
I don't know. Less said about the Premier League, the better. It's all about the Championship this year.
Yeah, I don't think later in 2015 we'll be talking about Reading in the Premier League either. But who knows?
Know.
Strange things have happened.
You never know.
It has been a whirlwind month or so. It's not even been a month since we last talked. I think middle of December, just before Christmas. We're looking ahead to the festive period and a crunch time for Nigel Adkins. We sit here a few weeks later. Nigel Adkins has got the most relaxing time of all. He's lost his job. He was sacked almost exactly the day that Brendan Rodgers was sacked 5 years ago, given his marching orders, a full payoff as well. Just very quickly, what did you make of the decision? Did you agree with it? Did you see it coming? Obviously, coming off the back of that 6-1 thumping at Birmingham, do you think it was inevitable?
Yes, I think it was certainly inevitable. I think it's quite funny. He got sacked the first day of my holiday, and I've barely been in the office since then, so I've missed an awful lot. But I wrote an opinion piece on the Sunday actually, saying that that defeat at St Andrews left him walking a tightrope. I felt he might get one more game. He might have had the Watford match, but the board decided otherwise, and it was very swift in the end, wasn't it? It was come Monday, end of play Monday, he was gone. Well, it's judging by what Samrat Bundik-Kinsada had to say on Facebook on the Monday morning, it was already decided. But I think it was inevitable. I don't think, given the run that Reading have been on this season, the poor form, the poor performances, the poor crowds, I think it was inevitable. And I don't think many managers, with all that added together, could survive a 6-1 away defeat, the worst defeat in 15 years or whatever it was in the league. I think he would have been very fortunate to survive that. And he didn't. Ultimately, he went. And I think it was the right decision. I don't think many people can have too many complaints. Even the staunchest Adkins supporters, the results weren't good enough. He's always said it himself, it's a results business, and he wasn't getting them.
Yeah, even myself, as those that listen to the main edition of the show and this show will know, I was backing him. I was desperately trying to get behind him. But even for me, that 6-1 defeat was too much, and I felt it was time to go. And sure enough, he goes on the Monday. Just for finishing up on Adkins, do you think possibly it was right man, wrong time, or do you just think he just was never a fit for Reading, no matter what the circumstance?
I just don't think he ever really quite fitted the mould of Reading. I think it was they were trying to change things. Anton, obviously, at the time was a man who appointed him, and he wanted to sort of change the style and the ethos that Reading is about, and I just don't think it worked. Obviously, Reading tried it with Brendan Rodgers as well, and it didn't work there, and they ended up going back to what they knew, and they soon had success under Brian McDermott. Obviously, they changed it again. They tried to change philosophy, change style of the club, and it just didn't happen. And I just think, I didn't really even think it was right man, wrong time. I just think it was wrong man, wrong time. It just didn't work out. And these things happen at football. And we've moved on now. And hopefully for Nigel, we'll walk into another club and do well, because he's a good manager. His record spoke for himself before he came to Reading. But I just don't think Reading was the right club for him.
Yeah, for me, he always seems the type of manager that like can build on prior success or with a good foundation. He was building on quicksand, and he had no idea of how to motivate the players or get what he had working. So I think best for all parties, he moved on. But
I think one thing I want to say about Nigel, though, is, it didn't work. And I never really was that impressed by what he was trying to do at Reading. And I freely kind of admitted that. But you can't fault the guy's work ethic. He worked so hard to try and make Reading a success. He put in so many hours behind the scenes. He was just a tireless worker and a good man. And unfortunately, it just didn't work out. But so I think, he can be criticised for a lot of things, but he certainly can't be criticised for not putting in the effort and trying to make it a success, because he certainly did that.
No, absolutely not. And as you say, I can imagine he'll walk into another job. It is the season to be sacking. Plenty of managers losing their jobs, the merry-go-round spinning. I can't see him being out of work for too long.
I know.
But the man that's replaced him is a man who was a victim of the sack race this time last year. Steve Clarke, former West Brom head coach, taking over the reins in very swift fashion as well. Again, it was all done and dusted within a couple of days. What did you make of the appointment and from what you've heard of him so far?
Well, I thought it was a very good appointment. I say I was very surprised at the speed that it all happened. Like I said, I was on holiday at the time. It was the first day of my holiday when Atkins went, and I went to bed on Monday night firmly expecting to see Eamon Dolan sort of take over, if not permanently, but maybe on a sort of temporary basis while the club looked around. But come Tuesday morning, I woke up. I'd been on the phone a little bit, and it became apparent that Steve Clarke was nailed on certainty to get the job. And by the end of play Tuesday, he was announced. The press conference had been held. So I think Reading sometimes get criticised for not doing things quickly enough, but they certainly turned that one around pretty sharpish. And you know, I've been on holiday, I wasn't there for the press conference. I didn't meet him initially. The first time I met him, I was working at the Norwich game last weekend, and that was the first time I got introduced to him. Afterwards, went upstairs and sat down, spoke with him for a bit, and I was very, very impressed by him. I have to say, I really enjoyed how he was talking. Again, with Nigel Atkins, I have to say, a lot of times I'd ask him a question, and I'd kind of, by the time he'd finished answering, I'd lost all what he was saying, and kind of lost interest in what he was saying, because it just didn't, you know. I thought, well, you know yourself, you've heard of interviews, and I can't say they're the most inspiring things you ever sat through. And it was times like that with Nigel. You'd ask a question, and by the time he'd finished, you'd have lost all track and were just kind of waiting for him to stop talking so you could ask him another one, because it just, you knew whatever you're going to ask him, he was going to somehow
very
turn
slick
it around.
PR a lot of the time,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Exactly. He was going to somehow turn it around to the same sort of thing, and sometimes you sort of marvel at his skills at doing it. Like, how have you managed to get onto that from what I asked you? But it was complete opposite to speaking to Steve Clarke. You know, he answered every question to the point. He spoke a lot of sense. He was honest, and I was really impressed with him, I have to say. And I think, in a way, sort of listening to that, the way Nigel Atkins spoke to me and to the press, if he spoke that way to the players, I'm not surprised they didn't put in performances for him, and they didn't seem that motivated. Because, and I know Nigel's really big on the whole motivation thing, but I just don't think his style worked. And if he delivered team talks like he delivered his interviews to the press, then it really doesn't surprise me that things didn't quite work out for him. And if Steve Clarke talks to the players like he's talks to us, I wouldn't be surprised at all to see Reading start picking up an awful lot more points, because I came away from that interview feeling very good about Reading and very positive about 2015. And so hopefully that feeds through to the players as well. And I think we want to wipe 2014 out the window, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely.
Forget all about it.
And results have already slowly started to pick up. Obviously, the first game against Watford at home, not the most inspiring, but it was a lot more solid coming off the back of a 6-goal. We conceded 6, ended up losing 1-0 to a bit of a sucker punch against 10 men. But they went to Brighton, came out of the blocks in stunning fashion, got into that 2-0 lead, just couldn't hold on. But again, it's not entirely surprising with a team that low in confidence before finally, again, getting to the same position against Norwich, but this time hanging on and doing the job. You mentioned your positive 2015 performances on the pitch. Part of that positivity, have you seen a general upswing?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I haven't enjoyed a Reading game like that Norwich match for an awful long time. I thought it was an excellent performance. Had it sort of everything. There was a lot of passion shown there. There was a lot of quality shown there. You just have to look at that second goal. I mean, that was Nigel Atkins had always spoken about pass and move football. There was, I think, sort of 6, 7, 8 decent passes leading up to that goal. Good cross from Murray and a very excellent take and finish from Simon Cox. So there was everything there, but there was just a real determination, I thought, that not to lose that game or not to throw that game away, given what had happened at Brighton and letting the 2-goal lead slip. When Norwich got that goal back with 20 minutes to go, you thought, oh no, here we go. But despite having putting a little bit of pressure on, Reading kept him at arm's length relatively well, I thought. And it just looked an awful lot better. Like, I wrote an opinion piece about this the day after. And what Clark's done isn't rocket science at the moment. He's moved Chris Gunter, Wales international right back with over 50 international caps, back to right back. He's moved last season's player of the year winning left back back to left back. He's got Alex Pearce playing back in the centre of defence and not trying to play the ball out of ball out to midfielders. You know, if he wants to clear his lines and hoof it into Rose Ed it seems like he's been given license to do that again, which is what Alex Pearce is best at. He's no Rio Ferdinand, is he? We all know that. He's
and given him the captaincy as well.
Yeah, exactly. He's an old school mould centre back, and he seems to be, well, you know, he seems to be coming back to his best, certainly against Norwich. I was impressed with him and here. You've got Danny Williams playing his best performance of the season so far, which I think is brilliant to see, because we all know what Danny Williams can do when he's fully fit and healthy, and touch wood, he's on his way back to that. And like I said, it's just not rocket science, but he's just put players back in their best positions, and Rednor picked up a win, and an excellent win as well. And it's just going into 2015 with an awful lot more optimism than we had sort of 3 weeks ago.
Absolutely. Well, January is the transfer window. The transfer window is back open. We can make transfers and signings. One couple of moves have already happened. Glenn Murray has gone back to Crystal Palace. Reading at the moment have not exercised their right to enter negotiations to buy him. And Royston Drenthe is technically a Reading player once again as well. He's returned from Sheffield Wednesday. Before we move on to any other rumours, on those two, do you expect either to still be or come to Reading before the end of January?
I certainly don't expect Glenn Murray to. I've said this before, I'd be very surprised. That's certainly not me. I haven't been told anything in terms of he definitely won't be coming, but I just think that last time I spoke to Nick Hammond and the whole FFP stuff, it was certainly seemed to be they were laying the foundations there to make it known that Glenn Murray probably wasn't going to come back. There haven't been any hints otherwise since. And I just think it's going to be too expensive a move if they were to sign Glenn Murray on a permanent basis. I mean, he's 31, isn't he? And to sign him, I don't know what Palace would want. You'd think sort of it'd be over £1 million, maybe £1.5 million. It'd probably a two and a half year deal at decent wages for someone there's going to be absolutely no sell on value. I just think it's too expensive a move for Reading. If they were right at the top of the Premier League and had a good chance of sort of doing it, sorry, at the top of the Championship, had a good chance of getting promotion to the Premier League this season, you'd think maybe it was a punt worth taking, because you know, the rewards you'd get from promotion would far outweigh the outlay you'd put on for Glenn Murray. But let's face it, Reading aren't going to get promoted this season unless something unbelievable happens. And so I just think it'd be too much for Reading to pay out for someone of that age. Although he's done very well, I think, since he's come here. And I think he showed against Norwich his importance to the team. Even if he's not scoring in that game, he certainly showed he's a very good player. Royston Drenthe, I'm honestly not sure. I mean, he wasn't Nigel Atkins' favourite person. I think the gaffer made that perfectly clear. Obviously, Atkins has gone now, so does that open the door for a possible return for Drenthe? He's done well at Sheffield Wednesday. There's lots of rumours flying around up in Sheffield that he could be on his way to China, though, isn't there? So maybe Reading have somehow managed to secure a deal with some big spending Chinese club who are more than happy to take his wages. So we'll have to wait and see. Obviously, I've been off for the last 3 weeks. I haven't really been in and around the club too much. I'm back on a sort of full time from Saturday from Huddersfield. So I think we'll certainly as the month starts ticking along, we'll learn a lot more about what Reading plan to do at January. But Steve Clark sort of hinted there's not going to be too much action. I think Nick Hammond made that clear when he spoke to us about a month ago. So Reading way, the Reading way, isn't it? I don't think we're going to be expecting a thrill in January, but hopefully one or two.
Yeah, I think I still think they really need a striker.
I think with Murray going as well, that certainly you'd think they certainly need a striker, don't you? I mean, Simon Cott's going to lead the line out and out. Lead the line, not sure how Rawson Kanu. No, even though he scored. I think we need a striker, but whether that's Glenn Murray, I'd be very surprised, but we'll have to wait and see, I guess. I don't know, what sort of striker do you want? Everyone talks about this mythical pacey forward. If Glenn Murray goes, do you need to replace like for like with Glenn Murray and get a sort of more of a target man to hold the ball up and bring others into play, or would you sort of change
it
completely?
Depends. I think it completely depends what the long-term outlook is for Pavel Pogrebniak. If he gets fit and plays, I think he's shown in this division that he can be a fairly decent target man to hold it up. He had a decent partnership and run in last season. So I think you've got that base covered. I do think you need just more of a Shane Long, Kevin Doyle type, a bit more pace and guile that can play off a player like that.
Yeah.
But obviously those type of players are expensive to find. And whether that someone from the younger ranks comes in, I mean, I know Dominic Samuel's been banging home the goals for under 21s this season, and whether he's involved at Huddersfield and chance to stake his claim, I don't know. But
Steve Clark's hinted to me after the game that there's going to be plenty of changes for the Huddersfield game. He says he loves the FA Cup and he's going to take it seriously. He's going to take a strong team, but he certainly said there were going to be changes. So possibly we will see Dominic Samuel again. He was another who seemed to have sort of got under Atkins's skin, and Atkins certainly always hinted that he had some sort of attitude problem, didn't quite put the work in that he should have done. So maybe, if Clark's coming in, might be a chance for Samuel to impress, because like you said, he's done the business for the under-21s this season.
Yeah, and Clark's shown with the likes of Saido Berahino that he's not afraid to give younger players a chance, and whether, I don't know if Samuel's quite that level, but, you know, it's a great opportunity just to blood someone like that, especially with Murray going. I mean, you say you expect a few changes. Anyone else you think we might see? Any chance that Jem Karachan could be involved?
He certainly said to me after the game that he was very much hoping to be involved in the squad. He's been training for a good few weeks now. He's fit. He's ready. The only problem with Jem is that he hasn't had any game time yet because of the sort of time of the year when he came back. There was no under-21s games. I think the next 21s game is about January the 5th or 6th. So ideally, I suppose he would have liked to have had sort of 45 minutes, 60 minutes for the 21s before going into the first team. But he said he's certainly ready to play on Saturday, and he hoped to be involved and hoped to be travelling with the squad. So I suppose it's down to Steve Clark, because Jem wanted to play against Norwich or be involved against Norwich, and Clark said no. Let's get more training under your belt first, and which probably, you know, thinks a wise, sensible decision. But he's had another week under his belt now. You'd think, in a game where Clark has hinted there could be changes and he wants to have a look at other players, and this could be the perfect opportunity to finally, after 15 months, at least see Jem get maybe the last half an hour, which I think every single Reading fan would just love to see. I can't wait to see him back. He's just had a horrible, horrible 15 months, and it's just going to be so good to see him back on the pitch again.
Yeah, it was right in the year in review and the previous stuff of the day, and just realising he missed the entire of 2014.
Right. 15 months he's been out. I mean, that's just 15 months of your career, and it's his short career as well. And to lose that amount of time, given the fact he'd had a fairly long-term injury only, a year or two prior to that, is just a real, real blow to him. And he's had so many setbacks during these 15 months as well that I can't wait to see him back. No one deserves it more than him, and it'll be great to see him back and maybe get that armband on. It'll just make him feel so much more part of the squad again. So
yeah, I was gonna ask as well. I know you haven't had too many chances to speak to Steve Clark, but has he clarified, is Jem still the club captain over Alex Pearce, or is it?
He hasn't clarified it. I certainly haven't been told otherwise. So I think it'll be interesting to see what happens if they're both on the pitch together. And I saw some comments from Clark from the press conference, I think it was. Oh no, it was after the game, the Watford game, when he was sort of explaining the decision to take it off Gunter and give it to Pearce. And he mentioned Jem in that. He said, we've got Jem Karachan and Alex Pearce here, two Reading boys who you know what the club is about. So the fact that he mentioned him in that quote makes me think that he hasn't made any changes to Nigel Atkins' decision. So we'll have to wait and see. The thing is with Jem, though, I mean, is he going to get in the team at the moment? Yeah. Because you've got Oliver Norwood, who's just been excellent, I think, since arriving from Huddersfield. And his stats against Norwich were fantastic in all sense of the game, really. His passing, he was back to his best. Because he's had a little bit of a lull, I thought, after a very good start. But he seemed back to his best against Norwich. Danny Williams is his best performance since his injury. So where exactly does Jem fit in with all that? And once he's back, he's not going to go straight back into the team. I know he's been out for 15 months. So I think it'll be a good sort of month, 6 weeks, until we see Jem up to speed and possibly trying to oust one of those two for the central midfield spots. But hey, it's a squad game, isn't it? And we'll, given how many injuries we've had to endure this season, it's just great to see people back and fighting for and having competition for places.
Absolutely. Well, just briefly then, it's not going to count in our official prediction league, where Johnny has stormed ahead as a result of correctly predicting the game up at Brighton. Sneaking the points in the last minute, as did Brighton. So he leads, so this isn't going to count. But just for fun then, what are you expecting from tomorrow's trip up to Yorkshire?
I am going to say we're going to have to do it all again at the Malaysia Stadium. So I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw.
1-1 draw. I'm going to say that Reading are going to sneak a win. I said 2-1 win.
Excellent. So just on the transfers, I'm certainly expecting Yuri Travner to make his move sort of permanent official at some point. That certainly seems to be the whispers that I'm hearing, is that it's well, it's been agreed and done for a fair while now, and I think the fact he's been training at the club for well over 2 months make it clear that that they want him, and Steve Clarke has given it the okay as well to carry the deal through. But there's a lot of paperwork to go through. I think his club in Azerbaijan, FC Baku, are not exactly playing ball in releasing the registration because they've had some issues over there. But I'm expecting that one to happen at some point during the January transfer window as well. So that'll be a left back, hardly one who's going to set the pulses rating, and he hasn't exactly had the greatest time when he's been in England before with Watford or up in Scotland with St Mirren. But experienced player, hopefully he's got a point to prove over here, so maybe that'll work. And we've all been wanting a little bit of cover for Jordan at left back anyway, haven't we?
Yeah, absolutely. The last thing you want is him going down injured again and having the merry-go-round at left back with right footers again. Don't need to see Sean Cumming, Stephen Kelly or Chris Gunter at left back again anytime soon.
No.
But anyway, that just about wraps this one up. We're hoping to have a main edition of the show out on Monday. Just got to check with Westy and Johnny, that's all good. But I said, watch the Twitter account for news on that. We'll hopefully be back next Friday. I can't even, do you know what, Charles? I've lost all track of things. Who is our next league game against after this?
I should know that.
Yeah, well, it's the same. The games come so thick and fast. You look at them in a bunch. When they come and start looking ahead to the next game, you forget, it's a glorious home game with Middlesbrough.
Middlesbrough, it is Middlesbrough, yes.
And then a couple of trips to London in Fulham and Millwall. So not too much travelling to do in January, which is good.
No.
Especially after all the funds tomorrow. Outlaid.
Yeah, but apart from this one tomorrow. And then I think Huddersfield's next month as well in the league as well, isn't it?
It is indeed, yeah.
Glorious Tuesday night match in Huddersfield. Which,
yeah, the 24th of February for that one. Pencil that one into your diaries. Absolutely. Right, well, so we'll be back just before the Middlesbrough game to look back on Huddersfield and preview that one. But for now, Charles has said Happy New Year and safe trip up north tomorrow.
Thank you very much. Yeah, Happy New Year to you and all the listeners.
Indeed. Take care, Charles. Bye-bye.
Right, bye-bye.
The Tarlhurst End Podcast.
Read the blog
on thetarlhurstend.com.